Shine in our hearts, O Master who loves mankind, the pure light of your divine knowledge, and open the eyes of our mind that we may comprehend the proclamations of your Gospels. Welcome to Annunciation with Father David. Father David is the priest of Annunciation Greek Orthodox Church in Decatur, Illinois, where every week people are connected to the ancient wisdom of Orthodox Christianity. Here is Father David.
Let's begin. Gospel of John, chapter 1, 43 through 51. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Let's first go to the various notes in the Orthodox Study Bible. No deceit, in this case, means both having a pure heart and being straightforward with others. This, of course, is talking about Nathanael and how Jesus characterizes him. And in the notes, they talk about when Nathanael was under the fig tree and what exactly occurs there. It's never stated. St. John Chrysostom teaches that this was the meeting place of Philip and Nathanael, and Jesus was praising Nathanael for being so diligent and careful in his search for the Messiah. Christ's foreknowledge and his ability to see into Nathanael's heart stir him to this confession of faith. And finally, the title Son of Man is a title of the Messiah that had a level of mystery in its meaning, indicating a man of heavenly origin who would usher in the kingdom of God. This is from Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. In an Old Testament prophecy, Jacob dreamed of a ladder connecting earth to heaven, and upon which the angels of God were ascending and descending. This is Genesis chapter 28, verses 12 through 15. Jesus is this ladder who unites earth to heaven, and therefore is this Son of Man. Okay, let's go back to Philip and Nathanael and what the fathers say about them, because this is interesting, because they contrast the immediacy by which Philip follows Christ to the way that Andrew and Peter follow Christ. Because both Andrew and Peter need others to pull them towards Christ. Andrew needs the teaching of St. John the Baptist. It needs to be told, "Behold the Lamb of God." And then Peter needs his brother Andrew to bring him to Christ. Neither of these men sort of immediately follow. Whereas here we see a depiction of Philip just following him. All he needs to hear is, "Follow me." The Blessed Theophylact, equates this moment with Cleopas and the other disciple on the road to Emmaus, when they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way?" This is from Luke chapter 24, 32. Philip, therefore, this meditated within his heart and continuously studied the books of Moses and was always waiting for the coming of Christ. Therefore, as soon as he saw him, he recognized Jesus as the Messiah. So note that although it appears that Philip is different from Andrew and Peter, all three men have a period of preparation. Andrew has his preparation through the preaching of St. John the Baptist. Peter has his preparation through his conversations with his brother Andrew about Jesus. Philip has his period of preparation through the study of Scripture. And this points to a pattern of life within the Orthodox world, where our lives are set up as periods of preparation and periods of celebration. For example, Great Lent is a period of preparation for Pascha. The Advent fast is a period of preparation for Christmas and Theophany. We have the Apostles' Fast in the summer, which is a preparation period for the feasts of Saints Peter and Paul. We have the first 2 weeks of August, which are a preparation for the remission of the Theotokos. And after each period of preparation where we fast, we have a celebration, and that celebration lasts for several days. In the case of Pascha, we celebrate it for 40 days. And what we see here in Andrew and Peter and Philip is this period of preparation. And then the celebration comes with the finding of the Messiah. So too it is with us, that we prepare so that we can fully participate in these events in salvation history. We get to fully participate in the birth of Christ, fully participate in the baptism of Christ, fully participate in the resurrection of Christ, in all of the other great feasts. And that is why there is this pattern, so that we, like Andrew, like Peter, and like Philip, are ready, that we recognize the importance of these events in salvation history, and recognize that we can, through the divine liturgy celebrated on these great feasts, participate fully in these events. So when Philip goes and talks to his friend Nathanael, he tries to persuade him, because Nathanael, like him, is someone who is well-versed in the Scriptures. And so therefore he says to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote about." And he then names him Jesus of Nazareth. And then Nathanael says something interesting. He says, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And of course Philip replies, "Come and see." John Chrysostom says something very interesting about this. He credits Nathanael with being very generous, because he does not say nothing good comes out of Nazareth, but he phrases the question as, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He knows that the Messiah is from Bethlehem. He knows that Jesus of Nazareth doesn't fit into the position of Messiah from the Scripture's point of view. But rather than dismissing Jesus completely, he asks a hopeful question. He phrases it in such a way that there can be discussion. His heart is softened enough that when he encounters something he doesn't understand, rather than completely dismissing it, as we have already seen with the priests and the Levites, he starts a discussion. He invites more information. And this is how we should behave when we run into things in the Orthodox life, in Scriptures, in the Fathers, in the hymns, in the services, that we don't understand, is that rather than closing ourselves off to the possibility of further investigation or further instruction, that we ask questions, that we further that discussion, that we dig. And in that way, we are inviting the Holy Spirit to enter into us and to help us understand. And this is exactly what Nathanael is doing here. He is inviting this relationship with God to allow God to help him further understand why it is Jesus of Nazareth that is considered to be the Messiah. To understand that, yes, in fact, he does come from Bethlehem, because that is where he was born. Okay, then we're going to come to what for me personally was one of the great aha moments of reading Scripture in the original Greek. And this is a case where being able to study scripture in its original language becomes important. Because although the Holy Spirit is involved in all translations of scripture and can reveal things about God in every single language that human beings speak, it is still important to go back and be able to understand the original. Because there are things in the Greek that are revealed about God that aren't really translatable, especially into English. And this comes to this point where Christ encounters Nathanael in order to make sure that Nathanael continues to have that soft heart. He calls out to him to make sure that he's under no illusion that Christ is prophesying about him, that I know you. You are an Israelite without guile. I saw you under the fig tree. That this was coming from this prophetic power and not from having some kind of discussion with Philip. And Nathanael, hearing this, confesses him to be the king of Israel. Now, the king of Israel is in fact a title that belongs to Christ, that rightly belongs to Christ. And Jesus does not deny this title. However, he does correct Nathanael because Nathanael's understanding of him is limited. He still does not understand Christ to be anything other than a man. He does not understand that Christ is also God. So he upbraids him. He says, do you believe simply because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see things. And in the Greek says this, amen, amen, truly, truly. Lego emin, I say to you. Opsheste ton uranon aniogota, ke tus angelos tu theu anavenondas, ke katavenondas epi ton ion tu anthropu. This is kind of complicated, so bear with me. You will see, opsheste, the heaven. And then there's this really interesting grammatical phenomenon, which is called a participle. And in this particular case, a participle is a verbal form where you have an entire sentence that can take on all of the verbal cases and can also take on the aspects of a noun. So the best example that we see all the time in the church is oon, which is those three letters that appear around the halo of Christ. And this is a participle. It means the one who is. Notice that's a complete sentence, but it is also something that can be stuck on in as a subject in a sentence, and it can go on and be part of a sentence. So it's a sentence within a sentence. In this particular case, the verb in question is to open. The case is present perfect. And what that means is that the heavens, which is not the noun, which is not the subject, it's not the nominative case here. The heavens, the ones that have been opened. In other words, the heavens were opened in the past, and they are open continuously now into the present. So the heavens, the heaven, the one that has been opened. And again, that's kind of hard to translate and make sense and have flow in English. But the implication here is that you will see that the heavens have opened, and they've been opened. This is what he is telling Nathanael. And you will also see the angels of God. And again, here are more participles, anavenondas and katavenondas. And these mean the ones who ascend and the ones who descend. And again, the implication here is that because the heavens have been opened, and they were opened sometime in the past, and they're open now, that the angels ascending and descending have already happened in the past, and they're happening right Now, Nathanael at the moment isn't capable of seeing it because although he is open to the idea of Christ as the Messiah, he does not understand the divinity of Christ. And to demonstrate the fact that this idea that the heavens have been opened, that the angels are ascending and descending upon the Son of Man already and into the present, I need to remind you of the nativity of Christ. When the angels claimed glad tidings of his birth and cried out, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace." And when they came to Mary and they came to Joseph, so Gabriel comes to Mary and explains to her that she's going to become the mother of the Christ. Gabriel comes to Joseph to explain that it's the Christ that's inside his wife's womb. So the heaven is already open, and the angels have been ascending and ascending throughout his entire life, through this entire incarnation. And they are ascending and descending upon him as he speaks to Nathanael. He and the other disciples, though, are not yet ready to see. This is something that we will see later with the transfiguration, that at this point in time, Christ will allow Peter, James, and John to see his full glory, to see the reality of heaven open, the reality that the angels are ascending and descending upon him, and that this glory is with him always. And it is a glory that we as Christians are able to see, that it is carried with us wherever we go. This is why in the iconography of the church, we have the glory of God in the form of halos shining forth from the faces of the saints. The heavens have opened, and the angels are ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And now to the questions. Unfortunately, we didn't get a lot of questions this week, but the two questions that we did get are good ones. Does Jesus use other examples of the fig tree in his conversations with the disciples? In other words, what is the significance of the fig tree? Well, the fig tree shows up a couple of different times in Scripture. The first time it shows up is in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve have eaten of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, and they become aware of their nakedness, and so they use the fig tree to cover, the fig leaves, to cover their nakedness. And therefore, the fig tree comes to represent the law. And the law is revealed by God in order to reveal to us our relationship with him. In other words, to understand our own sinfulness in relation to God, and to realize that we are incapable of overcoming sin and death on our own. That the only being that is capable of overcoming sin and death is God himself. And so therefore, in the scriptures, we see a couple of times Christ referring to the fig tree. And Theophylact specifically says, some understand the fig tree to represent the law. Like the fig tree, the law bears sweet fruit, but the fruit is hard to get at, covered over as with tough leaves by the harshness and difficulty of its regulations. They say that the Lord saw Nathanael, that is, looked down graciously upon him and knew his thoughts while he was still under the law. If it pleases you, O reader, said the blessed Theophylact, consider this interpretation. The Lord saw Nathanael under the fig tree, that is, under the law, or immersed in the law, searching out its depths. And then in the Gospel of Mark, and also in the Gospel of Matthew, we have the story of Christ coming upon the fig tree and cursing it, saying that it's not going to bear any more fruit. And again, the blessed Theophylact says, this fig tree is a symbol of the assembly of the Jews, which had only leaves, that is, the law, which gave only shade to them, but which bore no fruit. Jesus hungered for their salvation. So therefore, he curses the fig tree. In other words, he prophesies the fact that he will be the fulfillment of the law, and that we no longer need to hide under the shade of the fig tree, hoping for the fruits of the fig tree, but rather that we now can come out and bask in the full glory of God through Jesus Christ, because he is the fulfillment of the law. And the last question is, why does Nathanael ask if anything good can come out of Nazareth? I touched on this earlier in the sense that Nathanael is understood by the fathers to be a man, a knowledgeable man, someone who knows the law, who knows scripture. Thus, this idea that he is under the fig tree. He takes shade in the law. He relies on the law. He knows the law. And so when Philip comes to him and excitedly says, "We have found the Messiah, the very same one that Moses wrote about," Nathanael knows the law, and he knows that nothing is supposed to come out of Nazareth. The Messiah is supposed to be from Bethlehem. So he asks the question, can anything good come out of Nazareth? In other words, talk to me about this. Show me how it is possible that the Messiah comes from Nazareth and not Bethlehem. And again, invites that conversation. And in response, of course, Philip says, "Come and see." And so he comes and he brings him to Christ. And of course, being under the law, being knowledgeable of scripture, and seeing that Christ reveals himself as a prophet, because of that constant living with the scripture, his heart is softened. He is able to understand and see Christ as the Messiah. But of course, he doesn't fully understand. He doesn't understand the divinity of Christ. And note also that Christ stops with the prophecy that you will see these things. He doesn't push him any farther because Nathanael isn't ready. He isn't ready to be fully lifted up yet. He needs to live with and walk with Christ some more to be able to see beyond his humanity and also accept the fullness of Christ's divinity.